Let's take our Bible, shall we, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this evening. And as we have a little bit of a look, thinking this evening about what your plans are for the year 2015. Now, I heard a little bit of an argument on the radio the other day. Should we call it 2015 or 2015? That went on and on for quite a while. What should we call this year? And most people came up with the idea, well, in 1999, we didn't call it 1,999. So as we head into 2015, I wonder what your plans are. And as we look at these things this evening, we're going to be thinking about, and the title is called, Which Way Did He Go? Which Way Did He Go? Now, I've always known that Looney Tunes cartoons were written for adults, weren't they? They weren't really written for children, because there's just too much really deep stuff in Looney Tunes cartoons. And I know that when Elmer Fudd has a shotgun, it's either duck season or wabbit season. Okay? Now, in some of these cartoons, you find this statement. In fact, Elmer Fudd has this dog every now and again that will run around saying, which way did he go? Which way did he go? He runs around saying this. And that's something that perhaps through this year we need to be thinking about. And perhaps at the end of 2014 we should have thought about, now which way did I go? Which way did I go? But at the beginning of the year I'm sure we could think about it too. Which way will we go in the year 2015? Let's read some verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we're going to turn to Mark chapter 10 and have a look at a little story about a blind man. Let's read some verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labour that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. The way that we choose to walk this year, I would pray for myself and for each and every one of you, would be that way of faith and not by sight. Let's just pray, shall we, this evening. Lord, we want to commit this time to You, Lord. This is Your time where we come aside and we lay aside the busyness of the world, Lord God, and open Your Word and ask, Lord God, that You would teach us this evening. Lord, that Your Word would be the truth that we hear. Your Word would be those truths that we hide in our hearts. And Lord God, these truths that we would hear and that we would seek to live out would strengthen us and help us to bring glory and honour to You through this year of 2015, we would pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 10, shall we? And as we think about the choices we're going to make this year, let's just have a little bit of a story about a man that we all know as Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. And his story begins in around verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. And we find here, and they came to Jericho, that's Jesus and his disciples, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, we don't really know much about this blind Bartimaeus. We know, yeah, he's blind. We know that he was the son of Timaeus, and we know what he did. He was a beggar. We don't know much about his past. We don't know really much about what happened to him in the future. We just know that he was blind. He had a father that he was begging, and he wanted to be able to see. We don't know whether blind Bartimaeus had been blind from birth, or perhaps he went blind later on in age. We could safely say he's not a young fellow. It must be a fairly old, because it doesn't call him a young lad or anything like that. Perhaps he's an older man. And he could have been begging for quite a while. He could have had this desire for quite a while. But when we think about it, we think about, most of the time, we think of blind Bartimaeus and we make an application of this. He was once blind, but now he can see. We could say that, but we don't know how long he was blind for, because he could have been able to see and then went blind and then needed to see again. And I see that as an application to what we're going to look at this evening, seeing that we don't really know how long Bartimaeus was blind for. Because some of us, yes, we were blind once, then we were able to see. We were saved. But sometimes in our lives, we walk a way that leads us away from the Lord, off in the darkness of the world. And then what we need is a time in our lives where once again we see with renewed eyes the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we keep going on with this story, we keep going on here. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And so often we need to do that, don't we? It's just not something we need to do just to get saved. So this story here isn't just this application, as we hear so many times of someone coming to know the Lord as their Saviour. Because I can see an application of here. This is, we need mercy. We need mercy. We need that every day, don't we? We need that mercy. And this is something we could say every day. Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't give up. He wasn't a quitter. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to be able to see. And I wonder, as we go into 2015, is there something that you have a great desire for in 2015? Is it something that you're going to come to the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, in prayer and to cry out to him for? And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for you." What a great thing that is to know. That Jesus calls us. That Jesus wants us to be at his side. No matter who we are or what we've done, Jesus wants us to be by his side. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Jesus told him to go his way, but notice what he did. He received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Is that your desire for 2015? As we begin this year, is it your desire that I'm going to be following Jesus in the way? I'm not going to go my own way. I'm going to follow Jesus in the way. And as you think about the year that's gone past and you've reflected on the past year, and as you wonder about your plans and priorities for 2015, I wonder what changes that you foresee that you'll be making this year. Is there anything you've decided, look, I've got to change my ways. I've got to change something. There's a certain thing that I do that I need to change. I wonder if there's something that you need to change. Are there things that will change? And you've made that a certainty. This year, I'm going to change that. I'm not going to do those things anymore. Or are there things that you decided, yes, I will do these things. I've got these things I will do. These things that I won't do. It's good to be able to reflect on those things. And tonight I want to focus our attention on the way that you might choose to go in 2015. Because the Bible has a lot to say about the way. It uses all sorts of words like the way, the pathway, the way, the walk we have. And I really appreciated this morning when Matt talked about our faith, because that should be our way. because it tells us in those verses we looked at first up here in 2 Corinthians that we should have a way that is a walk of faith and not of sight. A walk of faith and not of sight. And it's important that we ensure that we choose the right way. That we choose the right way. And quite often the Bible refers to that as the way of righteousness. In the book of Proverbs, that's mentioned many, many times. The way of righteousness. For example, if we turn to Proverbs chapter 16, let's do that this evening, shall we? Proverbs chapter 16. And have a look where it's mentioned once here. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, as I look around this evening, there's quite a bit of hoary heads going on here today. Some of us are trying to hide it. But there's a lot here who've got the old hoary head, and that just basically means what's happening. Yep, you're starting to tinge off grey a little bit. Some people tried to hide it, pastor tried to hide it, but he eventually gave up on that, didn't he? Yep, there's still some here that are trying to hide it. But the hoary head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And basically, the hoary head just basically means that you are getting old. Okay? That you are getting old. Grey hair or old age is a crown, is a reward of glory if you're walking in the way of righteousness. Okay? If you're walking in the right, and it's something that's going to happen in 2015. Sadly, all of you in here are going to grow older in 2015. Okay? Tilly got older today. She turned 10. Okay? We're all going to get older as we go through 2015. For some of us, that will mean more grey hair. Some of us, that might mean a little bit less hair. Some of it doesn't affect because it's already happened. Less hair, more wrinkles. More wrinkles. A little more weight. Okay? As we head into 25, we grow older each and every day. We grow that, just that little bit older. But I wonder, as these things start to happen, as you grow older, as you get a little bit further down the path of life, is that pathway that you are on, is that a way of righteousness? Is that a way where someone recognises, hey, they're a righteous person, they're a godly person. Even though they are looking a little older, they are growing older and wiser. Okay, there's that saying, you grow older gracefully, but I would like to change that. Do you grow older faithfully? Do you grow older? As you grow older, are you getting that little bit more faithful? Are you on that path of righteousness? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8, another reference to this way. Back a few chapters. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now this word I, this personal pronoun for I, the antecedent for that is wisdom. Okay, is wisdom. And this is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is something that leads us in this way of righteousness, in this way of judgment, on this pathway of holiness, of faith. On this pathway where we don't walk by sight, we should be walking by faith. It's God's wisdom that leads us that way. And this is a wisdom of a God who is our Creator. This is wisdom of a God who is our Redeemer. This is a wisdom of an omnipotent God, an omnipresent God, a God that knows all. This is the wisdom of a great God. And this is the wisdom that we need to take on board so that we're on that pathway. So in 2015, will you be found walking in the way of righteousness, the way of wisdom, the walk of faith and not by sight? Is that something you've purposed to do? If it's something you've purposed to do, I want to tell you a little bit more about what this way is like. And there are four things that I want to look at this evening that characterize this way of righteousness, this way of wisdom, this walk of faith and not of sight. So let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, shall we? And have a little bit of a look at that, refresh our minds on that verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it's a very short verse. Very simple, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We should not be always looking for evidences either in our feelings or in our circumstances in our walk. Okay? I'll say that again. We should not always be looking for evidences either in our feelings or circumstances in our walk, because that's not a walk of faith. Because if you're looking for evidence of something, if you're looking for see how you feel about something, those things are not always going to give you a good indication of, is this the right thing? Should I be doing this? Am I on the right pathway when I do that? It's not always going to provide you with that. Not basing our decisions and choices on this can cause problems. So we need to be careful. When we walk, we don't look at what's happening around us all the time. But we think about basing our decisions and choices, just like Matt was talking about this morning, about that shield of faith and what that referred to. If you're behind the shield of faith, you're behind the Word of God. You know what God's Word says and you obey it. It's a good message this morning. And that fits hand in glove with this here this evening. There are too many things too often that can take our eyes off the Lord. Too many things going on in this world, in our lives, in our community, in our families that take our eyes off the Lord. And that's exactly what Satan would like to do when he fires those fiery darts. If he can get your eyes off the Lord and on the circumstances around you, start looking for evidences on things happening around you, then he's won the battle, because you're walking by sight and not by faith. The true of faith does not rest on what we see, but what we know about God, his righteousness, and his holy character. And that's found in his word. That's where we need to be. To not make our way a way of sight, but a way of faith, we need to do a couple of things. We need to do a couple of things. If you say, yeah, I need to make sure that I am walking the way of faith and not of sight, there's a few things we need to do. And just like the apostles, we can do what they did back in Luke chapter 17. Let's turn back there to Luke chapter 17 and have a look at verse 5. It says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Have you ever just simply said that to the Lord? Lord, in 2015, I would like my faith to increase. I need more faith. We really need to come to that point, don't we? I'm a little bit destitute as far as faith goes. There's room for lots more. Lord, increase my faith. And this word increase means this. It means to do it again and again. It means to repeat over and over again. Add to it continually. There's no plateau, there's no high point where you've got your full fullness of faith. Okay? This is something we should be doing every day, as well as asking for that mercy, saying, Lord, today, increase my faith. Add to the faith of yesterday. Add to the faith of 2014. Add to the faith I had when I first came to you as Saviour. Add to that faith. I want to grow in you. I don't want to walk by sight. I want to walk by faith. Lord, increase my faith. And to be honest with you, when you think about it, if the apostles had to do it, shouldn't we have to do it more? Here are these men, these chosen ones that the Lord Jesus Christ handpicked out and taught, talked to day by day, lived with these men, fellowshipped with them. Do you think they had faith? Saw the Lord Jesus Christ healing people, but just back a few chapters, healed blind Bartimaeus, they were all there, and yet they're saying to him, Lord, increase my faith. Add to it, increase it. Make it better. We need the more to do that, don't we? We need the more to do that. And then the Lord goes on to say, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, how much faith do we need? What He grants to us. Even just that little bit of faith that He grants to us and increases, He says, you can do great things. You can do great things. How can we increase our faith? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 2 it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's how we can increase our faith. Look to Jesus. Because He's the one that established our faith. He's the one that authored our faith. He's the one that is the captain of our faith. That's what this word author here is, the captain of it. He's the one that is the sustainer of our faith. He is the one who is the giver of our faith. And He's the one we need to look to in 2015 to make sure that we are walking by faith. And that word looking is a continuous look. Just like we continuously need to have faith and more faith and add to our faith, Lord, increase our faith, we need to continuously look to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this way of faith, This way that we need to be on, this way, it is a way of faith. It is not a way of sight. Secondly, the way of faith and righteousness is not a way of effort. Now, don't get me wrong here. There are labours that we can do, but the trouble is, sometimes our labours have gone back to the labours of sight and not labours of faith. Sometimes our labours are in our own strength and not in the strength that the Lord would give us. Sometimes our labours might not even be in our strength, they might be in somebody else's strength as we ride along on their coattails. What we should do is not trust in the things we or another person can do, other than what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. We need to cease to try and do it in our own strength and put our confidence in the God with whom all things are possible. As it says in Luke 18:27, Jesus said, He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We serve a great Creator. We serve our great Redeemer. If God can create this world, if God can save you and me from our sins, all things are possible, aren't they? All things are possible. So anything that we can try and do in our own strength, with our own efforts, or rely on somebody else, are absolute waste of time because they're a walk of sight. And when we put this faith and confidence in God and know that He's working on our behalf, the way becomes not a way of endless effort on our behalf, running around frantically in the flesh trying to do things, but it becomes a way of rest. A way of rest. But if we turn back to Psalm 37, we can see that. Psalm 37. And boy, David had a rough life. We know that. But he had a lot of really good things to encourage us in. Because we know that in his life, he struggled with many problems. He had those that were after him, his enemies like Saul after him. But then he has psalms like this where he says, rest, in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of men who bringeth wicked devices to pass. If we walk the way of faith, if we put our trust in him and our confidence in him, then the Lord promises to us a rest. Are you prepared to rest and wait on the Lord? Are you prepared for a weight of faith? Now, it might sound like a contradiction, but are you prepared in 2015 to walk waiting? To walk waiting? Sounds like a bit of a contradiction. But are you prepared to do that? To walk waiting? Put your full confidence in the Lord and in His truths, in His word, and follow in those things, because then He will give you rest. He will enable you to do those things that were once impossible. He will make those things possible. He strengthen you for the task, and He will bless greatly. Let's look at this verse in Isaiah 64 and verse 4. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. I just discovered this the other day. Some of these heavier prophetic books have some interesting things in them, if you can eke them out. It says here, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither hath seen, I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. It's by faith we know these things. Okay, it says we won't see it. We won't hear it. It's by faith we will know these things. Are you prepared to wait on God? Because great and mighty things are promised for those who wait and rest in the way of faith and righteousness. Things unheard of, things not seen, things not even thought about, can be done by the God of the possible. Will 2015 be a restful, effortless year in the way for you? Thirdly, the way of faith and righteousness is God's personal way with his people. The way of faith and righteousness is God's personal way with his people. In fact, he has no other way. He does not have another way. It's a personal way that he has. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. It tells us in Hebrews 11:6, if we quickly turn there, Hebrews 11:6, that this is the only way that God has. Jesus said it, and in Hebrews, Paul tells us this, that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, how much we need this faith. It's the way that God deals with us in a very personal way. We cannot please God with anything but faith. In fact, it says that no man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, who was the way. No man comes to the Father. There's no way that you can please God unless you are walking by faith. That word please there means to gratify fully. to be well-pleasing to God, to be agreeable. Because without faith, the Bible also tells us that we are at enmity, we are enemies of God. So, do you want that, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Then please the Lord with your walk and walk in faith. And know that he deals with us personally as individuals and wants us to have a very personal and close relationship with him. A personal relationship involves trust and confidence in the one with whom we have the relationship. It involves a two-way relationship. The Lord with me and me with the Lord. It's a two-way thing. He wants that trust and that personal relationship with us. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Let me read that again. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He knows them because where does he find you? He finds you in his stronghold. He knows you there because you're with him on that personal level, having that personal relationship. You are where he is. You are where he is. You are putting your trust in him. And the Lord promises that he will be good to you if you abide in that stronghold. Are you known for your trust and personal relationship that you have with the Lord in the way? Faith and obedience are synonymous terms. When we trust, we obey. We sang trust and obey this morning. When we trust, we obey. And when we obey, we trust. Is this where your trust lies? Is this where your trust lies? Back in Isaiah, if you're still near there, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." How are you going to go into 2015? Perhaps in 2015, you need a new song. You need a new song. And that new song might be something, I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. He is a personal Saviour to me. Perhaps that's something that you need to have on a daily basis, to think, I trust the Lord. He's a personal Saviour to me as you walk in the way. And finally, the way of faith and righteousness is a way of victory. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and let's read these words here at the beginning of 1 John chapter 5. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" What have you pinned your faith on? Or are you just walking by sight? Do you show your love for God by keeping his commandments and loving his ways and his judgments? Where are you walking? The way of faith is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and loving those commandments. It's a way of faith and victory. And it overcomes, it says here, it overcomes the sight of the world. So in 2015, if you want the victory, you need to not walk by sight. If you want to overcome the world, you need to walk by faith. So in 2015, choose the way of faith and righteousness. Walk with the one who gives the victory through faith. Now, even this morning, as I was having my quiet time, I read a proverb. 31 Proverbs, 31 days in most months. This morning was Proverbs chapter 4, and you should have seen how many times in Proverbs chapter 4 it mentioned paths, the way. Have a look at it tonight. Proverbs. It was too late for me to add anything from Proverbs chapter 4 by this morning. But it was just full of Proverbs chapter 4 talked about the way that we should be on, the path that we should be on. Have a look at that. Which way will you go in 2015?